Florida is on the precipice of a major demographic collapse due to the aging of its population. When you look at the data, there are now more deaths than births in the state of Florida, and that is causing something called organic population decline. And once this organic population decline sets in, it tends to be a major long-term issue for an area's housing market and economy. And in this video, I'm going to dive into this data. But if you're a Florida home buyer or you live in Florida, you need to understand what's coming over the long term. And the problem here is this orange line, the number of deaths in Florida. It's increased by 40% over the last 15 years to 228,000 in 2024. You can see at the same time, the blue line, the number of births, has declined by about 10% in the same span, resulting in Florida now losing people organically for the first time in its history. Now, that's a major, major issue for Florida's housing market in particular. And the reason this is happening is because Florida's population continues to get older. The median age across the state is now up to 43 years old, which means more and more people unfortunately die every year. Meanwhile, the younger people that do live in Florida often don't form families because they're either not interested in forming families or they can't afford to form a family because the rent and homeownership costs are too high. And the result is the fact that Florida now has a birth-to-death ratio below one, below replacement level. And that's something that only about 15 other states in America are also experiencing right now. It's the states in blue on this map. These are the ones that are losing people organically with a birth-to-death ratio below one. And as this video goes along, I'm going to talk more and more about this birth-to-death ratio. You have to understand this data point if you're a home buyer or a real estate investor or just someone who wants to understand, where your city and economy is going to head in the long run. And largely, it's states in the Northeast, Midwest, and Deep South that are struggling the most demographically, but also Florida. And I just want to show you the historical data here so you guys can understand how much worse this situation is getting. Because I know a lot of people might be saying to themselves, oh, Florida's always been an older population. But the reality is, Florida was adding lots of people organically in the 1990s and the 2000s. Florida's birth-to-death ratio was 1.4 in 2008. There was 240,000 births, only 169,000 deaths. It added about 70,000 net people due to organic growth. And since then, that figure has plummeted, and we are now below replacement level in Florida 5 years in a row. You can see it got really bad during the pandemic. Obviously, the deaths went up. Now the deaths have stabilized at a much higher level. And the longer that this goes on for, the more that an area has the potential to suffer. Because the older it gets and the fewer young people there are having kids, the more that that can push an area into a vortex that causes more of the same and causes more younger people to leave and causes the area's economy and housing market to struggle in the long run. This is something that happened to countries like Japan and Italy. Japan and Italy, about 20 or 30 years ago, went through something that Florida is starting to go through right now. And the results were that over the next 2 to 3 decades, home prices declined over 20 or 30 years. Wages stagnated. In the case of Japan, you can see property prices nominally peaked in 1991, and they literally then went down for the next 17 or 18 years and are still well below their peak in the early 90s, in the mid-2020s. And what I'm going to do for you right now is explain kind of the real-world ramifications of this happening in Florida, because I live in Florida full time. And so I'm seeing this actually with my own eyes. When I moved to Florida a year ago, I started noticing some peculiar things. Like, I noticed that there weren't many kids around in Florida. Like, I grew up in New York, I lived in Texas and Tennessee. I was just always used to there being, there's kids around. In Florida, there's no kids anywhere, especially where I live in Pinellas County, in St. Petersburg. I was just like, there's no kids. And at first I was like, what is that? And then when I looked at the data, I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked when I looked at the data. This table looks at the biggest counties in America ranked by the percentage of households that have a child in the household. And if we go all the way to the bottom of this list, we can see Sarasota County, Florida's last place. Only 17% of households have a child. You can see then is Manhattan, 17%, San Francisco, 18%, and then Pinellas County, Florida, where St. Petersburg and Clearwater is, 19% of households have a child. And some of this might make sense if you think about Florida as being a retirement destination, but what's wild to me is that the number of kids in these counties in Florida is equivalent to San Francisco and Manhattan, as well as, you know, Washington, D.C. even has more kids than Pinellas and Sarasota. These areas, like urban areas, basically. And the more I thought about this data, the more I started realizing this is going to present a major problem for Florida's housing market in the long term. Because what's the most fundamental reason why someone or a couple would buy a house? It's the presence or future presence of kids, right? If kids are on the way, or kids are planned in the future, or kids are already in the picture, there's a huge incentive to want to buy a house for the stability that buying a house provides. But yet, there's so few children in Florida. You can see also Collier County in Naples, Lee County in Cape Coral, Manatee County in Northport, Alachua County in Gainesville, Brevard County in Palm Bay, Leon County in Tallahassee, all really low presence of children in all these different counties. And for a while, this didn't matter for Florida's housing market over the last 5 years because it was the big influx of people from the pandemic. So you had all the people moving down from New York and California and Illinois and New Jersey into Florida in 2020, 2021, 2022. And these people migrating in were buying up houses, they were buying up investment properties, and they were stimulating the local economy. So it masked these underlying demographic issues that Florida was starting to experience. And of course, the home prices boomed. They went up 60% in 5 years. And it seemed like Florida was going to have, you know, a long-term renaissance of sorts after the pandemic. But there's an issue cropping up now, and that's the fact that the domestic migration into Florida has plummeted by 80% over the last 2 years. In 2024, only 64,000 net people, net Americans, moved to Florida. That was the fifth worst level going back the last 35 years. So I want you folks to think about that. Not only is Florida, you know, experiencing issues with births and deaths and a low percentage of children, it's now losing migration significantly in a very similar way that it lost migration in 05, 06, in that prelude to the last housing downturn. It's seeing a similar drop in migration now. So you have to ask yourself the question, what's going to support Florida's housing market and economy as the migration's dropping off the table and the demographic growth is slowing internally? Well, there's a vacuum in demand right now, which is causing the inventory of homes for sale to skyrocket and the prices to drop. Home values in Florida over the last year are down 2.4% year over year. And in certain markets, they're down by almost 9% year over year. And there's now over 180,000 homes sitting for sale on the market in Florida right now. You can see data on Reventure app shows that this inventory in Florida is the highest level it's been going back at least a decade. And according to other surveys, this is the highest level of inventory going back to around 2008, 2009. When that last crash was in full force. So if you're a prospective buyer in Florida right now, understand that all the fundamentals are pointing to prices going down more in the future, right? Like, that's the upshot of this whole discussion, is that Florida's housing market should get cheaper into the future. But make no mistake, these fundamentals and these demographics, they are pointing to there not just being a short-term correction in Florida's housing market, but there being longer-term issues. Longer-term issues related to the drop in migration, the decline in demographic growth, and how expensive it is to now live in Florida. Because right now in Florida, you need to spend almost 40% of your gross income in order to afford to buy a house in terms of paying your mortgage, taxes, and insurance. That 40% mortgage-to-income ratio, it's the highest it's ever been. And it means that the local buyers in Florida are priced out. And if the local buyers are priced out and they're not having kids, then there's a big reduction in people moving in, it's going to mean a further correction in the market. And this is something that's starting to have some real-world consequences in terms of Florida's society and economy. Here's an article from the Tampa Bay Times, everyone, talking about how Tampa Bay schools are now expecting major cuts in programs and positions. They're planning for the worst, as state lawmakers talk of lean budgets. And in particular, this one stat really stuck out to me. Enrollment levels in Pinellas County schools are expected to drop 3,000 this year. And over the past 7 years, Pinellas County's district enrollment has shrunk by 13,000. So from 2018 to 2025, there are 13,000 fewer children enrolled in Pinellas County schools. I once again want you all to think about what that means for the local housing market, particularly the single family home market. If there's 13,000 fewer kids, that means there's 13,000 fewer households who need to buy a house because of the presence of kids. And in some ways, Florida, rather than advancing into a newer, improved version of itself that's more dynamic with more families and more organic job growth, it's actually tripling down on its caricature as being a retirement destination and a place for single people to just go have fun. Like, honestly, my experience living in Florida, that's what it is. A lot of people tried to say that Florida somehow changed during the pandemic and became, you know, more of a legitimate growth state, more akin maybe to Texas. It hasn't. It's as much as it's ever been a retirement destination and one where, you know, it's not a great place to raise a family and where the housing market and the society in the long term will suffer as a result. And I want you folks to take a look at this scatter plot of all the large counties in America because we're looking at the particular challenges Florida is facing. And we're also going to look at maybe some areas that are better set up for long-term growth compared to Florida. But what we're looking at here, the percentage of households with a child compared to the bachelor's degree rate, the percentage of adults with a college degree. And there's somewhat of an inverse nature to this, like San Francisco, Manhattan, and DC, the more educated that they become, the fewer children there are. Conversely, if you go to the bottom right of this graph, areas with the highest percentage of kids, like Hidalgo County in McAllen, Texas, Kern County, Bakersfield, California, these areas tend to be lower education with a higher immigrant population and have more kids. Now, what's unique to Florida is that Florida is primarily situated in the bottom left of this graph. You can see we've turned the Florida counties here in blue. Bottom left means it's less educated and has fewer children. And that's kind of like a death knell for your society in the long run. If you don't have education and you also don't have kids, what do you have in terms of your ability to grow and be dynamic as a society in the long run? And you can see there's only one county in Florida that's in the top right of this graph, St. Johns County, south of Jacksonville. It's the only county that has high education and a high level of children. Because if you don't have education, it's going to be hard for you to attract businesses. It's going to be hard for you to attract good jobs in the long run. And if you don't have kids, it's going to be hard for you to grow organically and to have the natural economic growth that comes from the presence of children and also the other benefits to society that come from the presence of children. So Florida is kind of stuck in this quagmire, and I don't know if it's ever going to get out of it. And the fact that it's now in organic population decline suggests to me that it might just continue into the future, and Florida might just continue to double and triple down on being known as a retirement destination, and it won't ever really be more than that. And maybe that's okay. Maybe it's okay that Florida never really advances on being more than a retirement and a vacation destination, but if that's the case, it's going to mean certain realities for Florida's housing market, and that home prices in Florida are going to have to continue to get cheaper because the fundamentals aren't there to support how expensive things have become. Now, I want to actually talk about some states and cities in America that do have good demographic growth, where that birth to death ratio is above one, is above replacement level, and where there is actually a lot of natural economic growth occurring, and that also there's solid education levels. And one of the states that best meets this criteria is actually Texas. You can see the birth to death ratio in Texas is 1.69. So there was 388,000 births in Texas. In 2024, there was 229,000 deaths. So it added over 150,000 people to its population organically, according to this data from the U.S. Census Bureau, which you can find on ReVenture app. At the end of this video, I'm going to let you all know how you can actually research this data for your state and your county. But you can see Texas is the number two state in terms of organic population growth, more births than deaths. The number one state is Utah. And Utah is by far number one, 2.1. You can also see Washington, D.C., North Dakota, California, Colorado, Idaho, New Jersey, Nebraska, and South Dakota round out the list of the top 10 states with the best birth-to-death ratio, again, meaning a lot more babies being born than people dying, which is a good thing for the long-term health of the society and the economy and the population, because it's going to mean more people needing housing units. It's going to mean more people raising families, needing to feed their kids, needing to clothe their kids. You're going to need more churches in cities like that. You're going to need more restaurants in cities like that. So in the long term, if you're buying real estate, this birth to death ratio is really an important metric. Now, we actually have this data for every county in America as well. This data goes down to the county level. And you can see that in a state like Florida, there's actually some big differences in terms of where the organic population growth is and isn't occurring. We talked about Pinellas County earlier. The birth to death ratio here is 0.59, meaning that there was 7,200 births compared to 12,300 deaths. That is not good for the long-term health of your economy and housing market. Now, you can see Pinellas County has actually always been below replacement level, but it used to perform much better. Like in 2009, its birth to death ratio was 0.87. Now it's 0.59, meaning that things are deteriorating and that you're going to see more in the next 5 to 10 years. You're going to see more of this vacuum in demand, to buy houses. It's just going to perpetuate and continue more and more as the births decline and the deaths go up. The other issue with deaths going up in terms of the housing market is that's going to mean more listings on the market. You know, as there's an increase in the amount of people dying, there's going to be an increase in the amount of people aging out of their home and needing to sell their home or condo in an estate sale. And when I look on listings in Zillow in Florida, I see estate sales left and right. You're going to just see even more estate sales in the future over the next 5 or 10 years, which, you know, again, is going to be good for you if you're a prospective buyer wanting cheaper prices. But it's also going to mean don't expect Florida's housing market to recover quickly. I think we could be on the doorstep of a long-term decline lasting at least 5 years and potentially lasting a decade due to this demographic downturn. Now, if we head back to the county map in Florida, you can see one area that does have a pretty good birth-to-death ratio is Miami-Dade, 1.4. So in Miami-Dade, more babies are being born than people dying. 29,000 births compared to 21,000 deaths. That's one of the better figures in Florida. You can see it used to be around 2 to 1, so it has declined down to 1.4, but it's still healthy above replacement level, meaning that there's going to be more organic growth in Miami in the future. You can also see Orange County and Osceola County in the center of the state have some pretty strong scores of around 1.65 to 1.75, so there'll be better organic growth basically in all these areas in red. The areas in red have better organic growth. The areas in blue have worse organic growth. By far the worst is Sumter County, birth to death ratio of 0.2. There was only 500 births compared to 2,700 deaths, meaning your population is just going down minus 2,000 every year on organic means, putting a lot of pressure on migration to fill the gap. And what I believe is that over the next 5 years, more and more people in the housing market are going to come to appreciate the importance of this birth to death ratio as being a meaningful indicator on the future of economic, demographic, and housing market growth. Because now in America, our population is aging, right? We're past the aging curve. The fertility rates are going down. So more and more areas that actually have good organic growth are going to be highlighted as positive areas for economic development and for areas of housing market appreciation. And so I guess what I'm saying is that you need to be using this data point now in 2025 to make more educated decisions about the long-term growth prospects of where you buy. This isn't so much talking about where prices are going to go in a year or two. It's talking about how our price is going to fare over 10 years, over 15 years. This birth to death ratio is going to really help you understand that. It's now available under the demographic section on Reventure app. It's a premium data point. We just added it. We have it available for every county in the US going from 1991 to 2024. It's also available at the metro level and the state level. We talked about how Texas is really strong, Utah is really strong, but you really got to dig into that city and county growth, the city and county metrics. You can see an area like Austin, 2.2. birth to death ratio. I want you all to think about that. Austin, there's 2.2 births for every death. Yet if you go to the entire Tampa metro, there's only 0.9. It's below replacement level. So where would you rather invest in the long term, Tampa or Austin? The data is clear based on birth to death ratio, but you got to figure it out for your city and also look at it at the county level. An area like Tampa, again, you could see used to be in positive territory, used to organically add population. Now it no longer does. It crossed that threshold in 2019 and has stayed down ever since below this replacement level dotted line. So make sure to also look at the line graph here and see how your area has trended over time. That birth to death data point is available under a premium membership on Reventure app. That premium membership is available for $39 a month, and you end up getting 40 total premium data points. You can download market reports. You can download data into Excel. You can also see our home price forecast score, which is a one-year home price forecast projection for 50 states, 500 metro areas, and almost 30,000 zip codes. All that's available for the affordable price of $39 a month, which is less than 0.01% of the cost of buying a house in a state like Florida. You're definitely going to want to access this data before you make a decision about where to buy a house or investment property. You're also going to want to consider signing up for the annual pass when you upgrade, because that gets you a 15% discount to the monthly rate, knocks it down to $33 a month. So head to www.reventure.app right now and check out that birth to death data. This is going to be a data point everyone's going to be talking about over the next 5 years. You're going to want to get ahead of the curve, start analyzing it now.